can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
You've cross-pollinated a little sport with Lily of Laguna, the Carlton theme song, and a couple of other things, but that's good, Donald. Could I just mention, just before you start, because I know you're bristling with many, many sports topics, one of the big sporting events in the world was completed last... what was it, Don?
The golf.
Yep, what was it?
Well, Leishman came second. He
didn't come second.
Oh, didn't he? Oh, no, he went down further. He was in second place.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. It's, so and the Japanese was the first Japanese player to win the American Open.
Go ahead.
Masters.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What were you going to say? So you, I started to say something and you said, yes, that was Leishman came second. That was wrong. The Japanese man won, yes. What else were you going to say about it? Before I got on to what I was going to say.
How often do they play that course?
Once a year.
That course is just for once a year.
No, they use it all year, but only for one tournament. It's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only tournament that's
it's played. It's a members' there. Course that is used.
Oh, okay, okay.
What do you think that they kept 18 holes yes. groomed and manicured it's for 4 days of the year?
It is unbelievably well manicured, that course.
Don, I know,
preparation.
Please, could I say this with great respect? Don,
look out.
May I say this, Don? Sometimes I look across this desk.
Where's the button? Come off the control panel.
Sometimes I look across this desk, Don, and I wonder in what in God's name is going on with you. You are sitting there, a fully intelligent and grown man, saying that you think a golf course called Augusta is used for 4 days of the year only to play a golf tournament on. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they don't use the centre court of Rod Laver Arena for tennis any other time of year.
That's not right.
Isn't it?
Centre Court of Wimbledon.
That's not right either.
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. You got a T in there, have you? So, Don, what I was going to say about Hideki Matsuyama was the fact that he was a fantastic champion, in my opinion, for this reason. He didn't go on with all the ground kissing and waving and pulling his dick. He was very proud to have won. He doffed his cap to the audience, the crowd that were there, and he was a very modest, circumspect champion. And what a change, what a relief from all the other shyacking and crap that goes on with people who win it. It was a delightful winner, the man from Japan, and he showed people just how... humble you should be when you actually win a major event. That was my opinion of him, and he was a worthy champion. And Mark Leishman didn't come second. A bloke called Will Zalatoris finished one stroke behind the Japanese champion, and he was 24, and he's going to be a star. Although they say he's going to be a star just because he has one good performance, people say that a lot, and then you never hear from those people again. The stars that they pump up, we'd have to put 5 years in before we actually say he's going to be a star, wouldn't you?
That's you're like a BBC sport reporter here at the moment. No one cares and you're just rattling off crap.
Well, I was just mentioning, in case one of our listeners, one of the 4 million people who've listened to us over the journey, are interested in one of the most popular sports in the world, which is golf.
No, do you know you're what the interested in golf. That's said, one of your interests, golf.
Do you know what the average handicap in golf is?
25.
The limit.
Is that 25?
There's so many people, seven. There's so many people who play golf that the number of people who can play it is far outweighed by the people who are no good at it, and the average handicap is the limit.
What is the limit?
Well, for men it's meant to be 27.
And for women?
36. But some men play off 30 and 34. You wouldn't go onto a golf course if you were given 34.
He's on 33 or something, isn't he?
Well, you wouldn't go onto a golf course if you had to have 33 strokes to par.
Wasn't that what he told us last week?
Oh, and surely he's not off 33. Did they toss?
Because you said that's more than the limit. That's why I asked the question.
27 is meant to be the men's limit.
Sheehan. Oh, off 33 you said Sheeny.
Yeah, I did.
Sheeny.
You and Sheeny. Are you doing a function at Sorrento Football Club?
Well, I had to check to see if I was it was okay for me to speak there because I got banned in Adelaide from speaking because someone – oh, we did this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, but it's continued on over in Adelaide. It's bigger than the Beaumont children going
to school. Beaumont children. Why? Don't make a joke.
What's happened?
There's been a counter argument put in the paper about why Sam should have been allowed support. To
John, be quiet.
So one some kid that looked like he was about 12 years old wrote an article saying that it's all bullshit and he shouldn't have been canned.
What did Hand say?
No, I don't think he's come back yet. It might be today's paper, I'm not sure.
Who?
Hands.
Hands.
Hands. You remember Hands?
The man who, the homosexual man.
Impersonator.
Homosexual.
Drag him. Is he drag?
Do you think he's. Who knows what he is. But he does, in his little act, he does more damage in his little act than he reckons I do in a month's journey, day's lifetime.
So you're doing a thing at Sorrento, are you?
No, Mick asked me to go down and be part of a Sorrento football club. So I said to Mick, just check in case that I'm off limits down.
How big is local footy these days? They have a lunch, they have a chairman's lunch.
Yeah.
No, the lunch at Sorrento is famous and has been for years. This would be the second or third time you've been down there?
Oh, I'm just in big demand because I'm very entertaining, Don, but I didn't want
to put... They had some terrific guests.
I'm the best of them. I didn't want to actually put people...
Who have they had?
I didn't know.
Oh, geez. Tell me somebody.
Well, you tell us somebody.
I don't know.
They have John Howard?
Judges, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs. They have them all.
Indian chiefs?
Yeah. They have them all.
Yeah, Fatty Bumba. They had him down there. The Maharaja of Baghdadi. He was down there.
Two dogs?
Yeah. Have you spoken there, Don?
I was speaking to a supporter the other day. His name's Tony Jewell.
Yeah.
We're talking about football.
I saw his painting, his art the other day. It's fantastic.
Oh, geez, you've only just discovered him.
I have.
It's just like Van Gogh.
How else would I know if I don't?
It'd be like Van Gogh or Gauguin or something. When he's dead, his paintings would be worth millions.
They're good, aren't they?
I know they are.
Why haven't you told us about those when we've interviewed
him? Well, you blokes are not interested in art. You wouldn't have a first clue
about
it.
It's all we do, isn't it? It's one of our other things we do.
I'll invite you out the back here, Don.
Well, why don't you ask and I will tell you.
More art out there that you can poke a stick at. He's a bit like Chopper Reed.
No, he's better than Chopper.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a bit like
Chopper. His artwork is, it reminds me of the fashion magazines of the 1920s, elongated figures and his silhouette and you. And he's... He's never had an art lesson. He's just a natural.
I said he's a bit like... No, I won't. Can you shut up? I said he's a bit like Chopper Reed in his fact that he's got celebrities painting and doing art.
Is there a guest trying to ring you, Sam? Can you just check your phone?
What's it?
We good?
Yeah.
He was very good at art at school, Tony.
What might be the guest?
And what happened was that his father came home one day and said, I've got you a job, son. And his teacher recommended he go off to art school. He said, I got you a job, son, a plumber. So he's gone from a talented artist being pushed into art to becoming an apprentice plumber.
Jeez, they're really good.
He's just come back into art since he's retired and moved to Sorrento. And, you know, he's now got his hand in. You know, initially he was a little not confident and he was trying to look for a style, but now he's got his style and I think it's... I really do like his stuff.
Has he done an exhibition?
No. We were talking about that yesterday. About he's had a few inquiries since that article went in. We were just discussing the ramifications and the implications of all of that.
I'll buy one off him.
Well, I thought that mangrove one that is very good. He started off with the mangroves and he got his inspiration from going up north and seeing the mangroves, but then... You know, just couldn't complete it, and he finished by putting that background scene in, or that black line, which is the shore in the distance. It really did just set it off, I thought. And you know, I like his work.
And what does he? Is that what he does all day now?
No. You got to. Well, he as any artist, he's got to be inspired, and some days he just can't. He can't do it for weeks, and then all of a sudden, you just get a rush of creativity, and away he goes. And yeah, he did a terrific one of Melbourne's buildings, you know, iconic buildings like Dimmies, CUB, Melbourne Town Hall, all the iconic or the well-known buildings in Melbourne. I thought that was very, very good too. I think Brian and may have been in there as well.
And who, going back to that lunch, who else have they had?
Oh, jeez, I can't. I don't go to it.
You said they've had everyone. How many?
I know. I watch the football. I can't be bothered going to the lunch. I'll go and watch the football, but I don't listen to. I don't know who. But they're very good guests.
How many people they get to a game?
Well, last week it was chockers because they played Rosebud. The place was just full in the outer. You just couldn't get a car spot. And so, you know, it's very big down there. But unfortunately, the Sorrento football team are a little bit beyond themselves and they think they're better than what they are, and they lost. And there's a wake-up call there, but I think it's a bit late because they didn't do a proper pre-season. They're not fit. And they should be doing much better than what they were doing.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
He came in the wrong address. He rang up to see where it is because I told him to come to the wrong place.
So what are we doing now? What are you doing?
Yeah, you do it. You two speak shit for another 2 minutes.
Now, Don, what's on your list? What have you got here? Sorry, we're having
We were just talking football. He's chucked up. Can you believe this man? He's just got up and walked out of the studio. We're in the middle of a thing. He does not care about anyone else in the world. Now he's walking around in a circle outside, his hands to his head. He is unbelievable. How can you have a discussion? Because I was going to talk to him about coaches.
Let's
coaching
pause.
Not to lose.
Let's pause and we'll come back with when he's got this sorted. We'll be back in 1 sec. Righto, we're back. Sam, where have you been?
Well, he chucked a wobble in. Now you come in, and the first thing I was a disgrace in the first segment. What are you going
on
about?
We just finished talking about Tony Jewell. We're still on sport.
Don,
what else have we got to talk about?
What? Don, I went out to meet our guest because I gave him the wrong address.
And you told me I was a disgrace.
You are a disgrace. I'll get on to that in a minute. When I went out to meet our guest because I gave him the wrong address, I had to signal that here I am. What I remember you, the last thing I remember you saying is that you were Googling the map of Costa Rica. You said you were at home earlier. This is in the first.
This is not under sport.
No, but I just wanted to ask, why were you at home Googling the map of Costa Rica? Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, but that was in the first segment.
What were you Googling?
I'm just interested. A photo came up of a beach in Costa Rica, I thought, I wonder where this beach is in Costa Rica. So I put it in Google Maps and it came up.
And were you thinking of going to Costa Rica?
No, I was just interested about where this beach was in Costa Rica because it was a nice photograph that came up on my laptop. And you press a thing, do you like or don't like it? And I like the picture, so I sent that back to Google, and they will continue sending me pictures from around the world of different landscapes and countries, and it just happened to be. And this beach is near Santiago, that's the word.
Not Santiago in America, Santiago in
Santiago.
South America.
Anyway, this is sport.
Don.
Okay.
Jesus, I was going to say something else. I can't remember.
Now, listen. I watched a bit of football and I talked a bit of football on the weekend with one Tony Jewell because we work together. And he made an interesting comment about...
We just finished talking about him with art, remember?
No, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing. Okay. What did we talk about before we were interrupted?
The art. His art.
Art of what?
Art. And I was mentioned art. Chopper Reed.
Tony Jewell and his art.
And I
was
mentioned,
that under sport or general?
Sport. We were just talking about
And I mentioned Chopper Reed and you said, Chopper. Oh, shut up, you.
Chopper Reed?
I mentioned Chopper Reed saying that personalities painting have quite an
Keep
impact.
Keep going. Tony Jewell
and
said.
And you said, oh, shut up.
Tony Jewell said about what? About footy.
Coaches.
Yes.
Coach, not to lose.
That's right.
It's an interesting way of looking at the way
football. As opposed to?
They don't take the game on.
They should be coaching to win.
What's the difference?
They protect their
CV. I saw the difference and I wondered what he was talking about, but I saw the difference the other day. Again, because I have to do this podcast, I watch a little bit of football now and I watched Melbourne and Geelong And it was a real contrast in the two styles, and I could see what he meant, that Melbourne were playing to win. They were kicking the ball long, quick and fast down to the forward line. Geelong were methodical, slow and short going into their forward line. So,
which is what the Dogs do.
What's that? What do they do? I haven't seen them play.
Like you just said,
they're kicking it long too, are they?
And they kick it long. And so the teams, with the way that this new man on the mark rule, it allows that next kick to get a hell of a lot more penetration.
Yeah, but hang on. Why are teams like there? Oh, geez, I've got to think now. The teams that kick it slow, they still kick it slow and crowd it up.
Hawthorn, so they just haven't adapted.
Hawthorn, yeah.
What it's done is it's allowed the teams that have been trying to play free-flowing football to actually do what they want to do.
Yeah, but there's still a slow – there's still horror – this game.
Yeah, but those defensive teams have now been out – are now being left flat-footed. So they'll have to adapt. That's what you're saying. And I think you'll see that at the moment we're seeing blowouts. We're seeing some big scores. They'll tighten up as each team gets used to this new –
Now, we did talk about this, and he said that Ruckman – you follow Footscray. The big Ruckman's playing down – the guy we gave a rap to last year, young fellow's playing down forward. What's his name?
Not Tim English, or the one from Brisbane.
No, not that's Stephen Martin.
Yeah.
English. He came from South Australia. I think they recruited him from South Australia. What are you foofing and fluffing?
I'm just listening to you two speak absolute shit. Go on.
So he's now playing down in the forward line, not as a knock ruckman?
Because we've got Stephen Martin now playing on the ball.
What about Mr. English? How does he play in the ruck?
Well, he did play very well last year. I compliment him. I can't understand why they took him out of the ruck, but they've got three. Tony said that they've got three avenues to goal now. They've got
three-pronged forward line.
Yeah, the guy from St Kilda, Bruce.
Yep.
And come on, they're high-flying. McNaughton, is it? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Norton. And English.
We're going, mate. We're on fire.
How many games they won?
All of them.
Really?
All of them.
So there's three teams that haven't lost a game.
Yeah. So, Sam.
Yes.
Tell us about, what were you going to say about Nathan Buckley? Because I reckon he's checked out.
Checked out?
I reckon he's done. I reckon he's cooked. I reckon he's had
enough. What about Brad Scott or Chris Scott?
Chris Scott's okay, but I reckon Bucks is done. I reckon Bucks would be relieved if he got relieved of his job, if that makes sense.
So you think he's not focused, Nathan Buckley, and he's just about ready hope someone sacks
him. The way he's treating the media, he's treating them with contempt whenever they ask simple questions. He's being, I know flippant. Nathan pretty well, and I reckon that he's done, and I reckon he'd be happy. I reckon he needs a breather. I reckon he's a bit over it. I think he's had I haven't spoken to him for a long time, so don't read
this. This is your opinion.
Yes, that's right. You know, he's had a long relationship that's just ended, right? He's got his priorities, I reckon, have shifted. He's thinking about his kids, he's thinking about other things, and he's just thinking, you know what? After what happened in summer with the whole Eddie Maguire and the whole, you know, racial thing, right? You know what? I'm over this. I'm done. I reckon he's just sick of shit questions and he's sick of, you know, he's just done.
He should come in here. We ask good questions.
Well, what about Chris Scott? Don't you think he's stayed too long at Geelong too?
Oh, that's a different. I'm not saying Bucks has stayed too long. I'm saying Bucks has checked out. I really do think he's just done. To say what he said pre-season, to say, you know what, I've come to the realization that I don't need to be the head coach of Collingwood going forward. If they decide it's someone else, that's fine. I reckon that's as good an indication as you'll ever get from a coach that they're done. I mean, that's a big. I mean, these guys are competitive beasts and they want to hang on to it. I think Chris Scott loves his job still, even though I'm not saying whether or not he's the right man or not.
Play,
No, that's a different question. But I think he loves the job and I think he's happy to still be in it. Whereas I think Bucks has just decided, you know what, there's a big world out there and I could probably do other things.
Well, we've found a new segment, Don, Rocket Rants. the Rocket is on a roll.
Well,
here
at least he's contributing and at least we have a conversation with you.
Every time I start to speak, you say, just a minute, just hang on, just shut up a minute.
Hope he doesn't do it for our next guest.
You asked about Chris Scott. I'm going to ask you a question. So you think he hasn't stayed there long enough.
No, I said he stayed there too
long. Stayed there too long, that's what I meant. So if they're chipping the ball around and they've got, I know he wasn't playing last week, but if they've got Cameron and Hawkins down there, wouldn't you think the game would be to take it on and not protect your CV by trying to save games? And eventually the wheel will swing. Eventually, instead of everyone trying to save the game, everyone will try and win it. And that's when people might start to find the game more appealing. Because at the minute, the anal attitude of the umpires for incidental contact with any contest is just mind-numbingly boring. and it is just doing our game a disservice. And I don't care if that's umpire bashing or not. It is ridiculous. And we jump into the lifeboats on the basis of political correctness. But to focus on every single infringement, whether it has anything to do with the play or not, is mind-numbingly dumb.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't watch it. That's why I don't watch it. I'm not interested.
Has to find the negative.
That is the negative of football, the over-officiousness of the umpiring. It is, and it's not necessarily a personal thing on the umpires. It's about the way it's...
I've never, ever taken any... Oh, I used to dispute the umpire decision, but they never have an outcome.
Okay.
Their decisions never influence the outcome of a game.
So Geelong and Melbourne, the Geelong guy, I think it might have been Hawkins, comes out to take a mark, and the guy from behind, the Melbourne guy, is behind him, really harassing him behind him, which is his job. And the bloke said he was just forcing him into the ball. Like, it is just, it's pathetic. And the Melbourne guy couldn't understand what the free kick was for. The Geelong guy thought he might have given it away by balking him. They are just going out of their way to look for every infringement that's written down in the book and some that aren't.
I don't understand why they have three field umpires. The way the game, it doesn't move quickly at all.
What is this, the Sullivans? We're talking about stuff that's so old.
Oh, geez. Well, it's having effect in junior football because they're struggling to find umpires in junior football too because they follow the lead.
Aren't there other issues with junior football you wanted to discuss?
Well, there is, and there was an article, but whether this
Give
gets
us the
any
short
airplay,
version
it's
of
from
it.
Mark McGowan, and he's doing a report. He says here, his opening paragraph, frustrated recruiting and list managers are already noticing the detrimental impact of the AFL's trimmed down NAB league and talent programs. Because of COVID, they've had to trim it all down. Then he goes through a whole, but he's missing the point altogether with regard to junior football. And
what is it?
Who is Mark McGowan?
The whole thing, this NAB, the under 18 or 19 competition, you know, they have all these junior aspirants to play league football. They're all primed, prepared, lifting weights and whatever else. You're really not getting a true indication of raw talent. Now, once upon a time, and I deal with horses. And if a horse... No, listen, it's the same principle.
They lift weights.
A young horse, you don't look at a horse that's already prepared and going and the utmost he's been trained up and what else can he do because he's probably showing the best you can do. But you look for a thing that's raw potential that you can add to and then you might take him on. It's the same with footballers. And these young fellows have got full-time in the NAB. They have full-time coaches now. They have assistant coaches. Don't you think these kids are overprepared, overcooked, whatever else, for football? You're not really seeing a product that you could take and develop. And I think these young kids, having come through the under-19 process myself, I played in the thirds, and I noticed then that 1 year or 6 months from one pre-season to the other made a big difference in the progress or the development of a player. Yes.
Could you repeat that? What you just said then?
I can't.
What the fuck?
How many coaches did you have when you went through the under-19s? Jesus.
I had one coach, but I took a real interest because I came through the under-19 process and boys that were good in 1 year weren't good the second year because in that 12 months, it's an interest that they mature early. And athletes and mature at different rates. That's why a lot of good juniors don't go on because they've matured early.
Do you get your horses to do weights and bench presses?
I do similar things with jumps.
Do you?
Yes, gymnastic
you
jumping.
Put a heavier weight on their back so that they have to strain to jump and then on the show day they can just fly.
You use gymnastics and you place poles in front of jumps so you bring them in deeper and you've got to get them come back on their hindquarters more. You do Cavaletti pole work,
right,
so you do a lot of things to strengthen them.
Something's gone right with your life this week. You're up and about, Don. You're ebullient. You're just up there.
No, it's you because it's your eyes. It's your eyes that you see through. And you're obviously in a good mood yourself. And so you see the world as being rosy. because you're in a good mood yourself.
You're a...
You don't watch the soccer at all? Soccer? How it's improved in Australia? Soccer. Soccer, football?
Do you think it's improved?
My word.
Yep. Tell us, Tom.
Because they're now doing one... Before, a couple of years ago, the Australian players... No, they weren't. The ball would be passed to them. They'd trap it and then pass. Now they're following the European way. The ball's coming to them and then they directly pass it off. They do not slow it down. What?
They've been like that for years.
You don't watch the Australian
been like
stuff.
That, for years.
Oh, that is bullshit.
You're making
that is
this
bullshit.
It's not 1970.
It is bloody bullshit.
John,
you watch the when they came out and played the MCG. John. Was it Manchester?
Yeah, Manchester Unity.
Liverpool.
Manchester Unity.
No, it wasn't.
They've been one touch players
Liverpool.
For a long time.
What?
They've been one touch players. They don't pull the players out of a pub.
The difference between those teams that came over and played Melbourne Victory here at the MCG, it was marked.
Don, because we are show, we're so skint on sport, you've made most of this shit up.
You know we don't know anything about this. You had one point and it was on golf. That's as much as your interest in sport is golf.
We know nothing about soccer, so you thought to yourself, I know what I'll do. I will speak to these boys about soccer and I'll point out how it's
I'll
a one-touch game and they won't be able to counter because they have no idea. All I know is that your fucking mind is about 8 minutes behind your mouth. Go ahead. What?
The athletes that play ladies football, women's football,
yes,
because of the way it's played.
Yes, Don.
I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but I'm doing it again.
Groin injuries?
No.
Knees?
Yes. Because of the weight of some of these women and the way the game's played.
The weight of them?
Weight. They're overweight.
Don't say that. There's going to be a furore.
What do you mean?
You can't mention women and weight, mate. You can't body shame.
Overweight women.
Well, isn't that funny? That article that Mark McGowan wrote.
Thank God he's writing articles. You'd have nothing to speak about.
Been a big resource.
He talks about that weight issue here too. Oh, here it is. It is understood the AFL has also discussed with recruiters the possibilities that boys won't have skin folds taken at the behest of the league's mental health gurus.
What's that got to women being overweight?
Well, it goes on to say this ruling is already in place for female footballers.
Yeah, so you can't skin fold women.
So you can't talk about that on podcast.
Yeah. Did you do skin
fold? That's pathetic, Don. You're not pathetic. To not be able to skin fold boys or men or women because it might shame them into a body shape.
Well, when we played, Sam Kekovic. Now, he was a big man and Ron Brassey used to train him hard. He was, 15 to 16 stone. He played as a ruck rover and they said he was overweight. His body... fat percentage was below 12. Now, the cut-off point back then, using the Zooty Golding...
BMI? Body mass index?
No, Zooty Golding fat skin fold thing. There was a calibration and a formula you used, and it was 12%. An AFL footballer, his body weight was 12% fat. Kekovic was below that, yet Barassi used to train him harder to get his weight down.
Could I ask
yet
you?
His body fat was below that of the average AFL Did footballer. You go, so you've got to do skin folds.
Like Plugger.
Did you go into the pricing structure or the cost of a trip to Costa Rica? How much would it take if we all wanted to go to Costa Rica at the end of this festive season? How much would it cost to go to Costa Rica with
I'm
you?
Going to Queensland in June. You're coming?
June now?
Yep.
We've arranged the itinerary. We've arranged for a replacement for you for later this month.
Well, it's got to be June. I've stuck around because we've got mediation this month. What's happening with that?
Our next guest can do it for us.
What, mediation? Jeez, I wish he could. Or she could. Who is it? Who we got?
You'll be surprised. Maybe pleasantly.
You'll be on your best behaviour.
Yeah. I tell you what, when our guest comes in, if you have any smart-ass things to say, I would hold them back and just till you work out what you're dealing with. I'll give you that tip now, Don. You take no notice of what I say. You heed nothing of what I say. But if ever you're going to take notice of what I say, don't be a smart ass with the next guest.
Are you a traditionalist?
Of course.
Why do clubs play in alternate strips?
Marketing.
Hawthorn went to played in Perth against Fremantle. Hawthorn was called the Mustard Pots at one stage in the early 50s.
The Mustard
their,
Pots?
Yes, their jumper was gold.
The May Blooms?
They were called the May Blooms as well, but this year they were called the Mustard Pots because their jumper was a gold colour with a brown V.
Mm.
Now, they wore that Guernsey on Saturday. It had a brown stripe down the side. That was the only difference. Why can't they just wear the brown and gold stripes? It certainly wouldn't clash with Fremantle.
I don't know why they don't use the traditional colours, but it is marketing.
It's another jumper to sell.
They're selling their souls.
Do you know what Essendon used to be called?
Now, hang on. I do. The Gliders. The Gliders.
Yeah, it wasn't good, was it?
It was not good.
Something racist from memory.
Absolutely racist.
So they're not called that anymore for that reason, I guess.
That is exactly right.
Something...
The blood-stained...
Angels. Yeah,
no.
Angels?
No, it was the that'd bad
be,
word.
That'd be great if they were called the blood-stained angels. No, blood-stained angels. Oh, don't worry. Okay, I'm not even going to say...
I thought they were the gliders.
No, the blood-stained they were. The blood-stained something.
So when did they change?
When I think people thought we shouldn't be calling them this name.
And that was a long time ago, too.
Long time ago.
Good.
Wasn't when they moved out to Essendon because they played at East Melbourne, Essendon, in the early days.
It might be why they changed.
I thought as a kid, Barrackin for Essendon because they were out near the airport.
What?
Essendon's out near
the
airport.
That. Why
Essendon
did that make you?
Airport.
Why did that bombers. Make you want to barrack for them?
Because I was born in Essendon. I was born at Sacred Heart Hospital in Moreland. Do you know Moreland Road? Sacred Heart Hospital.
I don't know the Sacred Heart Hospital. No, I don't think so. I know Moreland.
When he
Road.
Was born, the doctor slapped his mother.
Not good. Don, speaking of traditionalism, can I just change the topic before we go? What about Prince Philip?
What about him?
He missed out on his telegram.
Yeah, from
what
his
telegram?
From his missus.
Prince Philip.
Don, come on, get with the program. Prince Philip, who was 99.
I understand.
And who? What happens when you get to 100 these days if you're in the Commonwealth?
No. This.
What happens when you get to...
You're making fun of him.
No, we're not.
What happens when you get to 100
in the
Commonwealth?
There's one thing I can't handle is death.
Don, you've died many times on this very forum.
I cannot handle it. I'm sorry.
You've died many times on this forum, Don, and now is another time.
Don't be
what
smart.
Happens when you get to 100 in the Commonwealth? What happens usually, traditionally?
Tell me.
The Queen sends you a telegram. Prince Philip has missed out from a telegram from his missus. Hasn't he?
What would it have said, do you reckon, in this instance?
I think.
G'day, Dale.
Yeah.
Where's the stop button?
See you at dinner. And I noticed Prince Harry's come over for the funeral, but left
what's
that,
it got to do with
left
sport?
That person back in America.
Oh,
thank
don't be.
God. No, what a what a what
no,
a
no no no.
What a
don't
person.
Say it.
Yeah, no. I'm going to say
coffee scroll.
All the characteristics of a dog except loyalty.
Oh.
I'm not anything on that. Can I just say something? Anything else? I'm not anything on that. Are we done, Don? Are we done, Don? Are we done?
Don, get Costa Rica up. I'm going.
Oh, okay.
With
goodbye.
You.
This is it. See ya.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because